Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to TMZ Live. Harvey Levin here.
Charles here.
So we've been telling you about Britney Spears for the last few days that she is doing anything but well. We can now say she is absolutely estranged from her closest family.
Right. For a while there, it seemed like maybe they were patching things up. But yesterday, Britney made it very clear she still has some
bad
ill feelings, at least toward her sister, Jamie Lynn. Britney was going out for some horseback riding, and while she was riding in the car on the way to the horses, she was talking to her assistant and some other people in this car. She's not driving, but she is making some commentary here in a British accent, which is also interesting, and then starts thinking about her sister Jamie Lynn and her time on, what was the reality show she did? I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
So here is what Britney had to say about Jamie Lynn.
Beautiful people, what are we doing today?
We're going horse riding.
We're going horse riding.
And we're going up these windy hills and we're all just kind of like, where is this going? Now we see a white school bus. That's kind of sharp. That's really sharp. Nina, can I talk like you now?
Yes, please.
It's really sharp. It's very, very sharp. Have you guys been camping before?
I have, very a long time ago.
My sister did on a TV show, and they bathed her in the jungle. Oh. She said, bathe me, because I'm like stuck in the jungle and I miss my kids. Oh, cater to me, little bitch.
So I gotta say something. Jamie Lynn actually wanted to leave that set on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, because she missed her kids.
Which Britney's referencing, but she's mocking it, which is odd.
Maybe it's not odd, because I think she is mocking it partly, and this is not shade on Britney, because Britney's got issues, but I think the fact that Jamie so bonded with her kids
and has a relationship with her kids,
and Britney hasn't seen her kids in years now, I think must anger her. I mean, honestly.
And that it was playing out on this TV show for other people to see. I could see where that would anger
her. That was the way I kind of received this.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Yeah, this is really disturbing, you guys, because if you remember, Britney used to do this British accent before she was in the conservatorship, and a lot of people thought that was kind of alarming and a sign of help. She says in this specific video that she was kind of mimicking her assistant or whoever this lady is in the back that also has a British accent. And she says, oh, can I start talking like you? And she says, yes. So that's why she's doing the British accent. But I think
Take you back. You're right, Charlie.
Yeah, it's for like, true Britney fans, it's a little scary. It makes you wonder, like, what's really going on? And also, who are these people that are in her car? We've never seen these people before.
I know. That struck me, too.
It's sad to see, Britney not have the people that have been in her life around her anymore, and you just hope that the people that are around her are giving her good advice and are leading her in the right path.
By the way, there was also a reference in this video to something else we've been talking about, Britney's spending. She was sort of joking that, oh, what if we got stranded up here? If we were out camping, we all got stranded, and she said, oh, we'd have to call Cade, her manager, we'd have to call Cade to send a helicopter to take us to the Bahamas or something like that.
So look, I mean, we did this story earlier in the week that she is going broke. I mean, you know, I guess broke is a relative term because she had $60 million when the conservatorship ended. She is spending like crazy, $1 million a vacation every month or month or two in French Polynesia, other places. And, you know, one of the things I was told that I haven't even told you, we didn't put in the website, that sometimes she'll actually book a private jet, get a private jet, decide not to go, and she has to pay for the private jet. So she's dumped millions in lawyer's fees. She's had to pay Jamie's lawyer $2 million. There's not a whole lot of money coming in. She did do the book, but she's way more money is going out than coming in. And people are really worried about that. But I think a bigger issue is everybody that I've spoken with, and I've spoken with a lot of people now, are really worried about her mental health. That there is a feeling she's not taking her meds, which stabilizes her.
Yeah.
She doesn't have anybody in her life that is caring for her in a conservatorship type way, in the good sense.
Right.
And there are a lot of people in that world now, not a lot because there aren't that many people there, who are saying, boy, this conservatorship, ending it, maybe end the person who was doing it, but to end
to pull it,
it
all together
is not a great move.
Hello, my name is Mariam. I'm from Egypt, Cairo. I think Brittany thought posting this video would be funny to her audience. However, her audience didn't take it that way, as she took it down because her audience were just got mad at her and she received many hate from posting this video.
Yeah, you know, but Brittany posting things and taking it down is also something she commonly does. And there are just a lot of signs.
Yeah.
Bad signs.
Okay, we are going to move on.
Yes, moving on now to a moment between Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce from their Vegas trip. So you know that they were there this weekend for his teammate, Patrick Mahomes Foundation. They had a big gala. And there was a moment where Travis was on stage and he used what has become his catchphrase ever since the Chiefs won the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. He says this all the time. It makes most people kind of like go like, ugh, not that again. But how does Taylor feel about it? Well, someone on TikTok who is a lip reader decided to give it a go, and here was their assessment.
That again. I can't do it.
Yeah, that again.
So the question
is, I can't do it.
So how do you interpret that? It could mean...
If it's accurate, it seem pretty accurate.
It does seem it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
So you can either interpret it by saying, oh, God, I'm so annoyed by it. It's cringy. He's corny. Or it could be endearing.
Right. You could take it as a bad sign for the relationship. I actually see it as this is a good sign, that this is a very real relationship, and they're now out of that honeymoon phase. And they're
how many times can you hear it before it's not a good sign?
You're in the phase where you're getting to learn things more about your partner, and, yeah, they're going to say and do things that may annoy you. But that doesn't mean your relationship is ending.
I think that's correct. The fact that we're kind of seeing this crack in the shield a little bit, if you will, right? Crack in the armor, if you want to take it that way anyway. It shows that they're real, that like not everything is perfect and they're not always lovey-dovey,
yeah.
That Taylor Swift is kind of rolling her eyes at times at Travis Kelce because he does things that are kind of cringeworthy and that he's a lot. And I actually think it's like an honest look at their relationship. The fact that they're still together and that they are showing so much PDA in public, that to me is like the clear sign that they're still going strong. But this is like this is a reality. Like, yeah, Travis Kelce is corny and annoying. And guess what? His girlfriend Taylor Swift knows it too. So,
and by the way, I'm sure there are things that
she does that
he feels the same way. But by the way, he should not be caught on camera.
He sublimates it.
He should not be caught on camera saying it.
Yeah,
because
if he goes to a concert, rolls his eyes at like, if, you know, like if she's
right.
singing Shake It Off, he's like, oh my God, this again? Like then that'll
yeah,
be,
he's
that'll
not
be
gonna
trouble
get...
for him for sure.
That, by the way, I got to say, they have been pretty much living together under her roof in L.A. for couple months.
Yeah.
So I guess they're kind of test driving this whole thing.
Yeah.
They are going to be getting back to work, or at least she is, pretty soon. She's heading off to, I think, Europe, France, I believe,
yeah.
to get the Eras Tour started. And can I be frank? Good. They need to kind of get some time apart because I'm
You're
sort of
assuming that he's not going to go.
Fabian,
they're
he's
not doing
already...
anything. They're just wasting time going out together.
He's going.
He's already said he's going. He's already said he's going.
Well,
he specifically
if that's the case,
said Paris.
Then I'm going to be even more annoyed. So
yes, be prepared to be annoyed.
Hi, I'm Danielle in Atlanta. The honeymoon stage is over. If I were a self-made billionaire like Taylor, I would prefer for my boyfriend to channel his inner Swiftie instead of Presley. It's Taylor's world, and Travis is just living in it.
Oh, come on.
The issue isn't the song he's singing.
I'm sorry. I think that's a really bad idea for the relationship.
For him to start singing her
songs? Yeah, because if he starts singing her songs, number one, it's not his vibe. And number two, I think it puts them in a position where it's like he's on her coattails.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
We love a supportive boyfriend, though.
That's true. The Swifties would see it as
he's certainly riding her coattails in the money department. He just signed a new big deal for the NFL. It's small potatoes compared to her billions of dollars. So
what's he getting, Fabian?
He's getting like $34 million for like 2 or 3 years or something like that. Again, small potatoes. I know it's a big deal in the NFL world, but compared to her money, it's nothing. And he's riding her coattails there too.
And Taylor said, well, that's sweet.
Oh, that's cute. What are you going to do with that change? Well, when Monique announced that she was joining Cat Williams' comedy tour, you just knew.
It was a hint.
Yeah, you just knew.
It was a big hint.
What was going to happen when she got on stage, that there were going to be comments about some of the people that she very openly calls her enemies in Hollywood. People like Oprah, people like Tyler Perry. She's got a short list of people that she has no problem going after.
But boy, did she go after them.
I would not have guessed that she would have said these things about them the way she said it. You are going to hear a lot of bleeps, but you will more than get what she means here. There also, she gets the crowd in on it, and this is what I'm really surprised about. We know how Monique feels, but she actually gets the crowd
that doesn't
to chant
doesn't surprise me at all.
Some of these
they're Monique fans.
Hateful things.
But that's the way
but
people are these
Monique
days.
Some Monique fans are definitely Oprah fans. You can't tell me that.
No, I agree with you, but they get caught up in the whole Monique
maybe
thing. By the way, one of these words is such a racial epithet.
Yeah.
And not the one.
Not the N-word.
Right.
Right.
You go for Winfrey, you tell the pain.
I wish Monique would just hang it up. This beef is like the beef that just keeps on giving. This started really back in 2009 with the movie Precious. Oprah and Tyler were both EPs on the movie. Monique says that she did her due diligence. She acted in the movie. She did a press run. She did the TV show. She did the talk shows. But then came the time for her to go to Cannes Film Festival, and she said, that's not in my contract, so I'm not doing it. With that being said, she feels that Tyler Perry and Oprah felt that she was difficult to work with and got her blackballed in Hollywood, and she has not stopped talking about it since 2009. Here we are in 2024, and we're still getting the hate from Monique regarding Tyler and Oprah.
By the way, you should also know there was another part we had to cut out where she was making a lot of gestures that we can't even put on TV and got people in the crowd to do it as well.
We are in a culture where that middle finger goes up with anybody who has power. Mm-hmm. And I think there is that sentiment that it almost doesn't matter, even if you like them, there's this kind of power thing that you... Right, yeah. And especially Cat Williams and Monique, you know what the vibe's gonna be. So I think the audience was, honestly, I think they were primed for this.
Hey, I'm Polly, and I'm from Argentina. I think Monique was being kind of rude by making the audience chant aggressive comments about Oprah and Tyler Perry. It was way too out of line, and she should apologize in case she hasn't already.
She will not apologize.
In fact, she told the crowd that night.
She's like, ain't gonna happen.
She asked them, and she's like, are you an Oprah fan? And they're like, yes. And she goes, well, I'm not apologizing.
There's no doubt. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna move on.
Yes, to a couple of college campuses where the protests, the pro-Palestinian protests, pro-Israeli protests, are still going on, but getting more violent. In New York, on the campus at Columbia, they sent in NYPD in riot gear, trying to clear everyone out of the Hamilton Hall that the students had taken over. What you saw on TV seemed fairly, like just business. We're going in, taking the kids, and removing them from the building. Social media, on the other hand, showed a much more raw version of what was happening inside Hamilton Hall.
Wow. Yeah. Well, there you go, folks.
Yeah.
So
but,
much
but
for...
you know what? This is, and you would, you know this from the protests in the 60s for Vietnam, that happened. And the people who are out there, I'm not saying they want that to happen.
You know the difference, though? You know,
but,
there is a difference. The difference is that on campuses, everybody was pretty much unified against the war. There wasn't that faction where there was students against students. It was really students
really?
Against the... It really was. It was students against the government. It really was. There were.
But all the students were...
I was at a place where there were three... where the National Guard was called in three times in 1 year.
Right.
It was always students
against...
But
you were also on a campus in California.
Let me tell you, UCSB at the time, the Bank of America, they burned the Bank of America down. It was a hotbed at UCSB in 1969.
Right. No, I'm saying that they were very liberal at UCSB and at California campuses. That I don't know that that was the case across all college campuses.
It pretty much.
But I get your point that there was more a unified thing among students. Where this is
now, UCLA had its own thing as well.
Yeah, because at UCLA, it wasn't so much the police; it was the protesters clashing. Pro-Israeli demonstrators as well as pro-Palestinian demonstrators, and they got right up, they got physical with each other.
You know what triggered this, right?
So you were saying, I heard you saying something this morning
earlier in the day, there was a woman, an Israeli woman, who was beaten, and it triggered a lot of the pro-Israeli demonstrators, and they showed up here.
And then
but that was the trigger for this.
Exploded this way.
Yeah.
The waiting to see what happens on campus at UCLA today.
I have an opinion about this that I want to share with you.
It's interesting that now that the police know that the protesters are willing to go at each other, you would think there's going to be more of a police presence.
It's going to escalate.
Right.
But you know what's really weird that I was looking at this today and talking to Jason Beckerman about it, that when you looked what was going on in college campuses for the last 6 months, and you looked on social media, it was all anti-Israel.
Right.
And if you look at what's happened in the last 2 days, it's almost all anti-demonstrators.
Right.
And I think the reason is that even, you know, a lot of people who are just demonstrating, they are just kind of following the lead. This is the new thing. And when it becomes uncomfortable, when it comes home, that a lot of people on social media, it's sort of like in my backyard.
I know what you're saying, but I also don't think that I disagree with you that it's all anti-demonstrators now. I still think there are a lot of people that I've read even just this morning who are very much still in
support of if you look at social media, it has really shifted. I'm not saying all, but it just really, Beckerman actually raised this with me and I started looking, which just really struck me.
Hey, Jay out of Iron Mountain, Michigan, and I agree that they're losing the general public's approval of their protesting, especially when we're seeing clips of Jewish students not allowed to go on campus and violence used against them.
Yeah. This was the scene at UCLA where this guy was trying to go to class and was blocked. That's the kind of thing that just can't happen. You can protest, but let people go.
You know, it's going to be really interesting. There are going to be lawsuits here because there are going to be people
against
the school because they're going to say,
wait
a minute, I'm paying tuition and you are not facilitating my ability to go to class, to be safe and everything else. I'm shocked it hasn't happened yet, but you're going to see lawsuits.
Well, the Drake and Kendrick Lamar war is either... yesterday, we felt like it was getting very serious. And because Kendrick's response in the song Euphoria had some very serious themes in there. Maybe it's taken a funny turn today. Because Drake has responded, not with a song, but with a movie clip. So first, we're going to play you a little bit of Euphoria. And then you're going to... So you'll be able... gives you the context of why Drake is mocking Kendrick's diss track.
Now let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. I hate the way that you sneak diss. If I catch flight, it's gonna be direct. We hate the bitches you they confuse themselves with real women. Then notice I said we. It's not just me. I'm what the culture feeling.
Well, pretty serious.
Pretty serious.
This is saying that Drake is not for the culture. And there are other things in there. But this was Drake's response. Not lyrically, with a movie clip. From 1999, 10 Things I Hate About You.
I hate the way you talk to me and the way you cut your hair. I hate the way you drive my car. I hate it when you stare. I hate your big dumb combat boots and the way you read my mind. You've seen the
movie, so they hate each other. They hate each other about 100 different ways.
But that was Drake's way of saying your rhymes
is lame.
Are lame.
Yeah. I knew that.
So look at you. So who's winning here? We've got the best referee we could find.
Yep.
Big Boy joining us from his studio.
Hold on. I'm doing it this way.
Big Boy's in the neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
Hello. I thought my crew was going to help me on the ooh-ooh. So.
Hey, Harvey's got you covered. So
thank you so much.
So Big Boy, what do you think of Drake's response to Euphoria?
I thought it was comical. You know what I'm saying? We had a chance to air it and play it this morning as well, man. And it was spot on. If we're talking about the hate part, it was spot on. Our guy Louie, he came with another one that had some audio that touched on it too. So I was like, well, maybe it is, you know, this viral piece that was going around, or maybe it is, you know, the 10 things I hate about you. But that's one of those things that I thought that went up, and it was like, okay. And it wasn't his rap. It wasn't the diss. It wasn't another reply, but it was another way to make sure I'm here for what's going on. I jumped right back in. We didn't have to wait.
And I don't know if this is, depending on how you feel about the rap wars, as we're calling it, that it took a turn. It was, like you said, it was comical for him to post that. It made you laugh instead of, because when we were talking about Euphoria yesterday, there are a lot of themes in there that are pretty serious, particularly basically saying that Drake isn't black enough, or that he isn't black and that he isn't for black culture, the black community. All that stuff seemed like it was getting more and more serious. Did Drake just bring the temperature down?
I don't know if he brought the temperature down, because it's almost like when you hear the clip, it's like, get that out of here. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know what's coming from Drake. I know that from a credible source that he already has something locked and loaded. And I think once you heard Euphoria, then you start to insert and dissect certain pieces that you want to put in. But I heard that the body of another reply or rebuttal was already kind of made. I don't think that it took anything away from it. I think or made it die down a little bit. I just think that it was acknowledged, like, okay, yeah, all right, I hear you. That's just like when you're watching a boxing match and you get hit and you kind of like shake it off. And you look like, okay, I'm coming. You know, I loved it. I laughed at it. I didn't laugh at Euphoria. Yeah, you know what? I did laugh at Euphoria.
There are parts of Euphoria that were funny, definitely. So
yeah, there.
Parts.
I got a question. There's this whole thing in music and not just music, in entertainment, where people are an artistic success, a commercial success, sometimes one more than the other. Drake, at least as I understand it, is the biggest commercial success in the rap game, bigger than Kendrick. In terms of art, maybe not. And could some of this be rooted in jealousy, that people are so pissed off that he is so popular when he's not necessarily as respected as a Kendrick Lamar?
Nah, you know what? I don't think... Are you talking about from Kendrick or from
even from Kendrick.
Even from Rick Ross... From everybody who's going for Drake.
I don't think there's anything like that that's coming from Kendrick. I don't think Kendrick counts Drake's accolades. I don't think he counts Drake's pockets. I don't think Drake does with Kendrick. So I don't think that was rooted in jealousy or envy. You know, because Kendrick gets his, you know, I've seen up to $5 million for a festival. So I don't think that he would say, man, let me sit down and write this, because... Even when he did the I Hate, he didn't say, I hate you because you have more songs on the radio right now. I hate you because, you know, I think it was just rooted in hip hop. But I don't feel that it came from jealousy or envy. Not when it came from Kendrick.
Who do you think it did come from? When it was jealousy, who would that come from?
I don't think jealousy and envy, but I think with Ross, I think that it was just Ross wanted to get in, and it felt like Ross just had something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? With Rick Ross, he was like, man, you know, just let me in. He just wanted, like, Ross is my guy. But you know how when you'll see something go down and you say, man, I hope they say something about me. I do want to get in there. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's where Ross came from. And I don't think with Ross, you see Ross' house and what Ross got. I don't think Ross was from jealousy and envy, but I think it just came from from a different place. Like, you know, it's like double dutch. You see the ropes going, and you're like, all right, you know, I'm about to get in. And he got in.
God, we love having you on. You want to come on every
Man,
day?
I love being on.
You want to come on every day?
Harvey will do that intro every day. He'll get.
I'll do the bell. I'll do the bell. I got the whole thing covered.
All right, well, man, just let me know. I'm here for pretty much everything. You know what I'm saying? So let me know. I'll be a part. I do want to come down there one day.
Okay.
Like, I watch all the time, man, and I do. I want to come down there
come
one
down.
Day.
Come down,
wanna...
dude. You're always welcome. Seriously.
Hey, bro. Both of you guys always look amazing, man. And it's always a pleasure to speak with you guys.
Okay, well, now we definitely want to have you on
every
day.
Single day. We need it.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me see if there's any more notes that they gave to me that they want me to say. No, I did think you guys look great. I did think you guys look great.
When you can't catch Big Boy here, you can catch him on his show on the iHeartRadio app, Big Boy's Neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
On every single day. On. Check them out.
We love you, Big Boy.
All right.
All right, Big Boy.
Appreciate you guys, man. Blessings to you. Thank you.
Thanks again. He is the best. I just love him.
Love him.
I've known him for so long now. He's the best guy.
You and the two of you, LA icons.
I love him. We're going to take a break.
All right. When we come back, Richard Simmons weighing in on the big debate about Barbara Streisand's Ozempic comment about Melissa McCarthy. Was Barbara Streisand out of line? We will get the final answer from the person who knows best, Richard, when we come back.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back to TMZ Live. Barbara Streisand really stirred up a heated conversation. I think most people got into this conversation, much like us. It turned heated when she commented on Melissa McCarthy's photo as she was going out to an event, and Barbara said, "You look great. Is it Ozempic?"
She got torched.
Yeah, because she said it very, this wasn't a DM, it was public for everyone to see, and it just started, the question was, is it appropriate to ask that question about any weight loss drug in public?
So Melissa McCarthy had absolutely no problem with it.
It isn't.
I think it is. I think it's fine.
It's not.
But we'll get into it.
No. I know it's not fine because now I have support.
Well, you may have support, but
who's supporting you?
Melissa McCarthy.
I've got Richard Simmons on my side, okay? Richard Simmons saw all of this debate going on, and because he knows Melissa, and I don't know if he knows Barbara Streisand, but here's what he said about Barbara's comment. He said, "I love Melissa McCarthy. I've seen every one of her movies. A famous legendary singer, B.S., made a remark about her weight loss and was asking if she had used a popular weight loss shot. What a question.
Oh,
I
God,
apologize, Melissa, for these remarks. And by the way, Melissa, you look fabulous. So, I rest my case."
Obviously, Richard Simmons can have a take, but I mean, don't you think if the person who she said this to wasn't offended, then it's not a big deal?
No, because of course Melissa McCarthy isn't going to be offended.
She could.
Even if she were, she is not going to take Barbara Streisand to task publicly. Like
why is taking Ozempic shame?
I'm not saying that.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Then why?
I'm saying it's not appropriate to ask.
Can you say
a public forum?
If somebody comes up,
if you walked up to me at my desk, and you said, "Did you? Hey, are you using?" And you asked me, I wouldn't be offended. If you yelled it across the room, I would say, "Who the hell do you think you are?"
But wait a minute.
And then I'd say, "Really? What are you taking?"
If you're not offended, can you say on Instagram to somebody, "You look fantastic. What have you done?" Are you allowed to say that?
You two are never going to agree on this. You had this argument yesterday.
I know.
Just agree to disagree.
But you can. Can you say what have you done? Yes, you could say
can
that.
Can you say, "My God, have you been going to the gym?"
Let
or
them
you
decide. No, no.
Well, yes, you.
You're going to say
there's no shame.
What's
in
your
it?
Secret? I know for a fact of at least two people in our office who are using Ozempic.
Okay.
Why do you think you don't know? Because they obviously don't want to just broadcast.
I'm not saying
it, right?
Everybody, but
I mean, look, if they want to come forward and say it, that's fine, but they don't have to.
Okay. It sucks watching your parents fight. this is so awkward.
And don't have to. To my point that Melissa McCarthy.
Why are they telling you and not me?
Why? Because you're more of a body shaming person.
I'm not body shaming. I'm celebrating.
And I am more of the warm.
It's the opposite. It's
accepting the opposite. Person in this office. It's and you are the one that they, no. So to my point that Melissa McCarthy is never gonna like say anything bad about Barbara Streisand. Here was her reaction to all of the debate.
The takeaway, Barbara Streisand knows I exist. She reached out to me and she thought I looked good. I win the day.
Case
of course
closed.
She's going to say that, and I get her
what do you
point.
Mean? You're acting like that Barbara's holding her hostage. How are you doing this? You're loading
Who do you
this.
Think handed her that magazine?
Oh, my God.
Barbara Streisand definitely handed her that magazine.
Oh, my God.
And probably did her outfit.
Jesus.
Hi, I'm Giovanni Brustel in Washington, D.C. So first I want to point out that Richard Simmons is your favorite fitness influencer's favorite influencer. So when he speaks on weight loss, I think we should listen.
Preach.
And with that being, he did acknowledge the 80-year-old elephant in the room, which is that what Barbara Streisand said.
You calling her an elephant?
He did. What Barbara Streisand said
Melissa
was what?
Melissa McCarthy is a legend. I said that Melissa McCarthy is a legend, and that is what he acknowledged. And
yes,
at this point,
did.
I think that should be the end of it. And there's no one else more qualified to speak on this unless you decide to go drag out Jane Fonda.
There's one person who's more qualified to speak on it, and it's Melissa McCarthy. I'm sorry.
And Barbara Streisand, by the way, did apologize. She said, I didn't realize the world was reading, which I think means that she didn't realize that when you post a comment on an Instagram post, everyone can see it.
Okay, we got to move on.
Yes. Moving on now to Jeff Goldblum, who has a warning for his kids.
By the way, a warning that a lot of celebrities and others
A lot are taking this up, but his point is, enjoy it while you can, because this gravy train ain't running forever.
All right.
Here's what he said when he was on the Table for Two podcast.
Hey, you know, you got to row your own boat.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to teach kids.
Most people don't.
Right. Right. I'm not going to do it for you, and you're not going to want me to do it for you. You got to figure out how to find out what's wanted and needed and where that intersects with your love and passion and what you can do. And even if it doesn't, you might have to do that anyway.
You know, a lot of people are doing this, and a lot of billionaires are giving their money to charity and not their kids.
What's interesting about Jeff saying it, because as soon as I heard that and I was like, oh, well, he must have some kids like maybe about to go to college or something. His kids are 6 and 8. So he's giving them plenty of advance notice. He's like, just so you know, yes, I'm taking care of dinner this week, but.
Some of the other celebrities who have talked about this are Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, Anderson Cooper, Guy Fieri. And what I think's interesting is, why do they feel the need to talk about this publicly? I think we can all agree that giving your kids some accountability, making them work for their money, that's all good stuff.
But well, because
why do
it's
they
because
feel
Nepo
the need to share it with everyone?
The Nepo baby term has become a thing, and it's
exactly.
Usually what they're talking about when it comes up.
Hey, Adrian out of Phoenix, Arizona, and Kay Mafi. This news has me a little bit flabbergasted, I have to say, but I just feel that, you know, the normal parent would want their kids to have everything, give them what they can. At the same time, you don't want them to not know the value of a dollar, you know, to some extent. Make a long story short.
Pass it out $1 a day.
By the way, there's nothing wrong with, you're right, that some people have advantages, right?
Right.
When it rubs people the wrong way is when they don't acknowledge that they did have an advantage.
Right, but you know what?
That's what rubs people
the wrong
way.
There are advantages with money. There are advantages with
all
looks.
Sorts of advantages.
There are advantages with brains. There are all sorts of advantages.
And some people don't have any of those.
And some people don't have any of them. And some people have a lot of them. And I mean, come on.
We say this every day. You never know who is going to be a celebrity on any given day. There's the people who you see in movies and TV and doing music.
We have Insta-celebrities now.
We have Insta-celebrities like Matt Hilton. If you were on the West Coast and watching the Dodgers and Diamondbacks game last night, you know that it was delayed for 2 hours until they called in that guy right there, Matt Hilton, from Blue Sky Pest Control, because there was a swarm of bees, right behind home plate. And they weren't going to start the game while the hive was there, the swarm. So they called him in and did pretty quick work there. That would be the expected part of it. Here was the part where it just went like a Hollywood movie, really, because they invited Matt to throw out the first pitch, and he did it with the greatest flair. Don't tell me this guy doesn't have showmen.
This guy is a showman.
Yeah. And the crowd ate it up.
They went nuts.
Yeah. So joining us right now, the guy who I wouldn't have expected to be a celebrity yesterday.
He's the bee's knees.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Matt Hilton, welcome to TMZ Live. How are you doing, man?
Good. How about yourself?
We're good. I got to tell you something right out of the gate. You are a great showman. I mean, just the flair walking in. I mean, you are like a rock star.
I got to know, Matt, how much time was there between when they told you, we want you to throw out the first pitch, and when you actually went out and did it?
There was probably about 20 minutes. Yeah.
All right. So you had some time to think about what you were going to do in your... reveal
amazing.
Is awesome.
You are... Do you have any theater background? Because that, honestly, God, that was perfect. It was perfect.
I don't have any theater background. One of the people from Chase Field had mentioned, like, hey, it'd be really cool if you're in your bee suit and just did a cool little reveal. So I just grasped onto that and just... went with it. The crowd was already just going crazy, so I figured I'd play it up as much as possible.
So, Matt, I'm sure you've probably heard different versions of this, but I have a friend who was in Arizona last night. By the way, I heard you're a proud Sun Devil. Me too. Go Sun Devils.
That's where I graduated.
So I got a text from a friend who said, hey, you got to see what's going on at the Diamondbacks game. And they described you as, where's the word here? He finally took off his gear, and he's a cutie patootie.
I don't know if I've been called the cutie patootie whole lot, but we'll take it.
What's the reaction? I mean, you know, it's so funny because we're in a town where, you know, producers are looking for the next big star. You know, I don't know if you remember Jury Duty. They found this guy and now he's a star. Are you getting any calls today from suitors, from producers? I would think,
hey, we've got something for
you. I would think you are.
Honestly, I'm not. You know, I love what I do. I'm kind of here to stay. That's where I'm hunkered down in Phoenix. And, you know, I was happy to go help. And but, yeah, I'm not looking for a career change right now.
By the way,
flattered, but.
yeah, believe me, the calls will come. But I understand that when you got the call to go to Chase Field to go get rid of the bees, you were actually at a different ball game at your kid's T-ball. How'd that turn out, and how did you explain to your kid why you had to miss the rest of the T-ball game?
Well, I unfortunately had to leave that to my wife, because I just kind of, once I got the call and I realized the entire game was being held up by this swarm, I just had to jet right away. And so she explained to him afterwards, and he did his game, and it was kind of cool, because when they came home, that was right when I was doing the pitch, and that was right after that I had my sideline interview. And so they all got to watch it together. So it was actually, I think he's forgiven me since then.
So look, I don't want to throw any shade because I think you're awesome, but I'm wondering if your son had any tips for you on
I'm throwing the pitch.
yeah, I try not to talk too much about that pitch. let's just say I was under a lot of pressure. Yeah, that wasn't my greatest pitch in the world.
Hey, Matt, we've seen a lot of people do much worse.
Way worse.
When they practice for months.
Yeah.
50 Cent.
Yeah,
but so don't sweat it, man. Listen, congratulations.
Congrats.
Man.
That was
moment.
So fun. You really helped us today, because when we walked in, I mean, we said this going on the show today. We just loved it. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank
All
you.
Right, Matt. Welcome back. Harvey had to take off. He's a very busy guy, but my man Michael Babcock stepping
in. Charles.
We're not going to talk about the Knicks and what happened last night. We're both Knicks fans.
We're still devastated.
We're in mourning. We are going to talk about what's going on with Chris Pine and his neighbor, who are in a dispute over trees, which there's something funny about Chris Pine being in a tree dispute.
Very fitting.
But he allegedly is the one who has planted a bunch of trees that are destroying his neighbor's yard. And so much so that she has now taken him to court. And by the way, he's fighting back, and he sued her as well.
Right.
Yeah, Chris is embroiled in some nasty litigation with his neighbor. He lives out in the Hollywood Hills. His neighbor is a woman named Helen Yu, who says Chris planted a bunch of ficus trees on their borderline, on the border between their two homes. And the roots are invasive, and they're starting to damage her property, according to her. She says she wanted to settle it, have him pay for the damages, but he instead countersued her and said, you know what, you have a fence that's on my property, so good fences don't always make good neighbors.
She's actually saying that that it's made its way to the foundation of the home now.
Yeah.
And could actually affect the structure.
She says she can't enjoy her pool. She also says she has some emotional distress over the whole thing.
All right,
because
that's
these roots are really bothering her.
If you couldn't use your pool, you might be emotionally distressed.
Right.
Hot day.
Right. Or you worry about your house falling over.
We're kind of making jokes about it, but we have seen so many of these. And obviously, it doesn't only happen with celebrities, but seen quite a few with celebrities, and it seems like it's always ficus trees.
Because like Derek said, the roots are invasive, and you look at some of the photos, and I understand what she's saying, Charles, but it does seem like she's asking for a lot of money. Now she's looking for something like, I want $600,000-ish. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of trees.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Deontay from Detroit. And one thing they don't teach you about when you're young is when you get older and become an adult, you're going to be fighting about ficus trees. Okay.
You're right. What else you guys want to talk about?
My name is DJ K-Dev, and I'm from Long Island, New York. And Britney has been through a lot, so I really don't think that we should judge her. And I don't think that she called her sister a bitch out of malice. I think it was kind of just like a friendly gesture, as a sister would.
I don't know. One more.
I'm Jen McCarthy, a presenter from London, and I think we need to discuss Taylor Swift's reaction to Travis Kelce's new catchphrase, okay? So let's go ahead and assume that lip readers are correct. You know what? Thank God somebody said it. It was cringy for us, and it was also slightly ick-worthy for her too. It's going to be telling now whether or not he does it again as to how serious this issue is. And does this mean their relationship's on the rocks? No. We all have a cheeky roast of our man from time to time. I think they're going to be okay.
I like that you refer to it. It's now an issue.
Right.
The Viva Las Vegas has risen to an issue. Well, Demi Moore and her daughters are on a nice family vacation down in Mexico. Mm. And you know that moment where you see the family out and you go like, someone just goes, who's the mom? Yeah. I think that's the moment that people are gotta be having here. Although if they recognize Demi Moore, then they realize. But whose idea was it to do this video where we all do the thing where we transition into our bikinis?
I mean,
was it the daughters or was it?
I think that was mom. Oh.
Oh wait, no, it was the. Oh, I thought the Chihuahua was gonna get in a.
What's the Chihuahua's name again?
Pilaf, I believe.
Pilaf.
Yeah.
Pilaf.
No bikini for Pilaf.
That would have been the only thing that made the video better. Oh boy.
No, not everybody's getting a bikini, Mike. That's a fun.
A different story. I love it. Family vacation. They're having a good time.
But definitely Demi's idea.
A little corny.
But definitely Demi's idea.
Definitely.
And with good reason. It's gonna do it. We'll see you tomorrow.